It is May 17th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentaries from our hits and takes section of DLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories of yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's DLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Back in June 2019, the Kilt Challenge Sporran was passed to Pat Kenny, the most interesting man in the world. Since then, there have been no IDX gala dinners held for the Kilt Challenge to take place. Well, that is not the case this year. On June 8th, the last day of IDX, the gala will be held, and Pat will be present wearing the full regalia of a Scottish Highlander. There is even a Sporran that is passed on from year to year. This tradition was created when former FT journalist Jeremy Grant was challenged by some public relations friends to wear a kilt to the dinner and who pledged donations if he did. His first move upon receiving the donations, even before leaving the London cab where he received them, was to call me and ask for some publicity for the spontaneous fundraising drive. Upon the successful fundraising kilt challenge, he passed on the challenge to me for the next year, and so began this regular element of the IDX Gala fundraising for Futures for Kids. Would you help Pat help Futures for Kids by supporting him in the Kilt Challenge? I will be in London for IDX and at the gala and promise to report back to you on how he met the challenge, including whether he is the first Kilt Challenger to do the splits in a kilt. Talk about being kilt. You can click on a link in today's newsletter to make a donation to the Kilt Challenge. Smarter Markets, presented by ABAX, has a new podcast series titled Systems at Risk, and their first guest on the episode one was Walt Lukin, president and CEO of the Futures Industry Association. You can listen to the podcast and see other episodes with a link in today's newsletter. The Wall Street Journal has a story saying that Elon Musk is demanding that Twitter come clean on how many fake accounts it has before he proceeds with his planned purchase of the company. In response, the @ThisIsNotElonMusk account on Twitter asked Mr. Musk to prove he had the financing to take Tesla private. The U.S. Congress is going to hold hearings on unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, for the first time in 50 years, the Wall Street Journal reported. The first witness they should call should be Randy Quaid. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From our FIA 2022 Industry Leader Series, a video featuring Keith Todd. Trading Technology CEO Keith Todd had plenty to announce at FIA Boca 2022 and expects even more later this year. Keith Todd, the CEO of Trading Technology, spoke with John Lothian News at FIA Boca 2022, where TT made two important announcements. The first announcement was the KRM22 risk suite TT added to its platform, which Todd said extends the platform's risk capability and will be very well received by the community. Second was TT's acquisition of RCMX, a technology provider of algorithmic execution strategies and quantitative trading products, which TT announced on the first day of the conference. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's an advertisement from our friends at FIA. FIA's International Derivatives Expo is returning to the brewery in London this June 6th to 8th. Standing still is not an option in today's evolving clear derivatives environment. Without adapting to new products, processes, technologies, and regulations, your business won't meet the needs of tomorrow's industry. We're bringing together industry leaders, vendors, and policymakers to discuss what's now in derivatives and what lies ahead. Click on a link in today's newsletter to sign up for IDX. Here's a story from Bloomberg. McDonald's exit from Russia ends a hopeful era. If the 1990 opening in Pushkin Square was a symbol of hope, Monday's exit announcement is the confirmation that Russia is now not just uninvestable, but intolerable. When the first Golden Archers appeared in Moscow's Pushkin Square in 1990, it didn't matter it was midwinter. It was as if the snow in Narnia had begun to melt and the natural state of things was being returned to glorious technicolor. Russians queued around the corner for a taste of once-forbidden patties. If you can't go to America, come to McDonald's in Moscow, ran a McD's ad. Some other global brands piled in and dotted streetscapes with their logos and storefronts. The country of Potemkin imported many such familiar facades that were effective in conferring a kind of legitimacy to the government. Whether McDonald's or Hugo Boss, such frontages suggested a country hip to modernity. My comment, you can forget that Happy Meal and forget any toy. There is no hope of even getting the sauce you wanted on your sawdust McNuggets. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. World's top enabler of financial secrecy is the United States. Most G7 countries slow progress on transparency, index shows. $10 trillion worth of wealth is held offshore globally, report says. For individuals looking to hide their wealth, there is no country more helpful than the United States. That's according to research by the Tax Justice Network, which ranks countries by the extent their financial and legal systems help people and entities conceal ownership of assets. According to this measure, the U.S. has increased its supply of financial secrecy to the world by almost a third since 2020, earning it the worst rating since rankings began in 2009. My comment, actually, the U.S. is just the world's top enabler, period. It doesn't matter the subject. Here's a story from the FT. Investors pull $7 billion from Tether as stablecoin jitters intensify. Tether market value falls 9% after stablecoin briefly lost peg against U.S. dollar. Traders have yanked $7 billion from Tether since the world's biggest stablecoin last week briefly lost its peg against the U.S. dollar, intensifying concerns about the assets that underpin the global cryptocurrency market. Tether's market value has fallen by 9% since May 12th to $76 billion as tokens have been removed from circulation to meet redemption requests. Crypto Compare data show the decline came after Tether last Thursday traded at about 95 cents, well below the $1 level it seeks to maintain following the failure of a similar rival. My comment, today there are better places for your money than stablecoins that lack transparency. Just saying. Here's a story from the FT. New York Mayor urges Jamie Dimon to ride subway to work. Eric Adams calls on city business leaders to lead from the front in back office push. Mayor Eric Adams is urging J.P. Morgan Chief Executive Jamie Dimon and other New York City business leaders to ride the subway to work as he intensifies a campaign to bring employees back to Manhattan's empty offices. We're telling our corporate leaders, hey, get on the train. Adams said in an interview with the Financial Times, we need to advertise that New York is back. Only about 40% of workers have returned to the New York City offices in spite of repeated exhortations from the mayor posing a dire threat to the city's economic livelihood. Surveys conducted by the Partnership for New York City, a leading employers group, have found that fear of a crime-plagued subway is the overwhelming obstacle preventing workers from returning. My comment, I did not know that black town cars could run on the subway tracks. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. There is no time to go wobbly on Russia. Appeasing Putin has cost the free world dearly. We have an opportunity to rediscover our values. This is from Garry Kasparov. Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine has again been scaled back amid courageous Ukrainian resistance and international support in the form of weapons, financial, and sanctions against Russia. Mr. Putin and his oligarch mafia. As pleased as I am by this, it's hard not to be wistful about what might have been and how many lives would have been saved had such actions been taken to deter Mr. Putin years ago. My comment, Chessmaster Kasparov has a unique perspective on Putin's moves. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Getting the most clicks on Monday was the sad news of the passing of Carl Gilmore. Our second most read story was our piece, Markets Wiki entry for the new SIBO position for Elena Padamova. The Emperor's Clothes theme placed third with the New York Times take on Sam Bankman-Fried, a crypto emperor's vision, no pants, his rules. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from the Financial Times. The headline, Deutsche Bank looks to escape a decade of scandals and strife. For Paul Achleiter's successor, the priority will be restoring the financial health of the German lender ahead of a round of European banking mergers. After a decade of scandals shaped by billions of euros in losses, a flurry of misconduct and compliance issues, and boardroom battles, it looked for just a few hours at the end of April as if the outgoing Deutsche Bank chair Paul Achleitner was going to leave on a high. Germany's largest lender had just completed its first share buyback program in 16 years, which was intended to mark a return to normality. And 2 days later, on April 27th, Deutsche announced its highest quarterly profit in almost a decade, 1.2 billion euros. In another positive sign, the profits were driven by not just its investment banking arm, but also by the corporate bank and retail units that had long been lackluster. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, fight brews over cost of SEC climate change rules. Investors are demanding the environmental impact data, but companies balk at their expense under the plan. The cost of proposed rules on climate disclosure is emerging as a key battleground as businesses and politicians fight over a plan to require companies to tally their impact on the environment and the risks they face from climate change. The Securities and Exchange Commission estimates the plan will raise the cost of businesses to comply with its disclosure rules from $3.9 billion to $10.2 billion. The leap in expense equates to an ongoing additional cost of $420,000 a year on average for a publicly listed small company and $530,000 a year for a bigger firm, the SEC said. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, SEC official decries delay tactics used by some defense lawyers. Gerber Grubel, director of agency's enforcement division, called out what he described as gamesmanship by some corporate lawyers. A senior U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission official called on lawyers to work more cooperatively with the agency, saying, regulators have seen recent incidents in which the defense counsel for public companies had used delay tactics to stymie investigations. The remarks by Gerber Gruhl, the director of the SEC's enforcement division, were a rare rebuke for the corporate defense bar, some of whom previously served as staff attorneys for the regulator. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.